Good morning. This is Alex Jabaley with another episode of the Japodcast, the very sporadic podcast. I am so sorry. Today's June 7th, a day after CEO 2021 registration went live last night at 6 p.m. Eastern. I had been teasing it for a little bit, and then I gave everyone a one-week heads up when we were going to launch registration because even I didn't know what to expect. So I'm going to dive into that, everything about registration, how the event came back to be this year, how excited everyone is, how we filled up two games in less than 30 minutes, how the hotel sold out in 20 minutes, which means everyone's just hungry to get back out there. A lot of people are feeling more comfortable with vaccines being so easy to get. Numbers are going down with COVID, hopefully, and they're going to continue to do that. And, you know, I'm very optimistic for how December 3rd to 5th is looking. Besides that, just to kind of catch everyone up on the last few months for me, life's been really good this year. Last year was rough, obviously, not being able to do what I love, which is events. Getting to play more games at home was fun, though, and you know, getting good at fighting games again with Street Fighter V, doing my personal stream, which I haven't been able to do because I've just been so swamped with not just CEO, but DreamHack as well. And then obviously getting the dog last year kept me busy, kept me on a good schedule between, you know, walking her every day, a couple times a day, going to the gym, eating better. So, you know, I made the most out of, you know, last year, 2020, and how bad it was after having to cancel an event or almost cancel an event the week, you know, everything started going crazy. So just looking back, it's amazing that, you know, 15 months later, I announced CEO, it feels like everything's back to normal already, but going to continue to play it safe, obviously, and just hope that things get better so everyone can come down, have the time of their lives and not think about, you know, the craziness that we've had to deal with for the last year and a half. So, but before I dive into CEO 2021 and all that, just DreamHack actually promoted me. And it's a really good feeling. Been with them for 5 years. I've been added. So I've always directed all their fighting games. So if you don't know, CEO itself obviously is my baby. Created that in 2010. I've been hosting tournaments technically across four decades since the late 90s, which is insane to think about. I'm 38 years old, but the numbers just work out. Do the math. Just been running events and I've always had fun with them. I've always, you know, was born into a family full of sense of humor. So we always were blessed with being able to connect and network with people and be comfortable in any situation. And when you work in the gaming industry, like I have, you grow thick skin to dealing with all the craziness that you can read and see out there. But with DreamHack, you know, 5 years ago, they, after a few job switches and figuring out where I wanted to be in esports and gaming, Iron Galaxy, I was a community manager for Killer Instinct. And those were two of the greatest years of my life, being able to travel for them and going to Japan and all that stuff. But DreamHack, when I was with that Avid gaming company, some of you may or may not remember, which was a real company, real money. They were a esports startup that just couldn't get their product off the ground. And after my 6 month minimum contract ended, I'm like, guys, if this doesn't launch in a few weeks, I'm out. So I left. Very next day, after working one event indirectly for Pokemon Company, hosting a Pokken tournament at DreamHack Austin in 2016, the next day I got an email from Mike Van Driel, who's one of the bosses over at Esports, like, hey, we want to dive into fighting games. Are you available? And I took that job for a year as a contractor, and it turned into full time. So for 4 years later, to get the validation, recognition, a bit of a pay bump, you know, so I don't have to stress over CEO with, you know, last year and how it's going to do and everything. I've been more focused on that side, although CEO, again, it's in good hands with Tong Lee, who handles my staffing now. The promotional side is almost second nature to me, so that's never going to be an issue or anything. And then the tournament itself, look forward to it. I take the vacation off from my other job, and I run that event with you guys and have a good time. So it's just amazing to think how far it's kind of come. And, you know, I've always been an organic grower in terms of marketing. And, you know, I don't go spend huge marketing dollars. I just use my name brand and the CEO brand and the community. Without the community, all of our FGC events would never have been what they are. You know, and I attribute it to me being a player first and foremost. And I'm still a player in my mind, although I can't compete at most of these events. And it's just crazy to see how far things have come from me being a player to a shit talker, trash talker, traveling to compete, winning money, and turning that into being an organizer. So with DreamHack recently, we announced a product called DreamHack Beyond, which will happen the end of July, July 24th to 31st. And I will be doing a bunch of fighting game tournaments with a prize pool. We're officially announcing the content this week on DreamHack channels. You'll see me talk about it. You'll see me talk about on tomorrow night's DreamHack Fighters Twitch stream, where I'll be hosting a Street Fighter V tournament with a $250 prize pool. So I also produce streams now from my house on my, you know, for DreamHack. And so I've learned a lot about the streaming side and what goes into it, and, you know, but ready to get back offline and let the pros handle that part of it for the event. But they promoted me. I'm on the creative side of things. So not just fighting games, but just throwing out my ideas, how to make the DreamHack product better as a whole, make our conventions and digital fair and our festivals the best they can be. You know, I'm already kind of doing a lot of my own promoting for them happily through my own personal channels, because I want more people to check out. And, you know, CEO, people always ask, like, well, what if you just got some huge partner for like $1 million and just built CEO all over the world? I kind of had a smaller idea, but then COVID happened, to do an event over in Amsterdam. I will look into that once things kind of return to normal, hopefully in a couple years overseas, or whenever that happens, probably sooner than later, I hope. And so, but with DreamHack, that allows me to kind of do that and build fighting games. And then you already have so many events in every region of the country. So it would be a bad move on my behalf, to be honest, to do that. And I wouldn't be interested in doing that. I want to always just focus on CEO, the CEO Taco brand, CEO Dreamland, maybe again in the future. We'll have to see how things go. I feel like if I did any event right now, it would sell out, especially after last night. But so with DreamHack, doing that. And then last week, I just announced I'll be taking over speedrunning. If you're not familiar, speedrunning is basically where you play a game, mostly old school games, new school games here and there, of like Super Mario 64. How fast can you get all 120 stars or any percent? And a huge kind of community built industry that I just want to kind of help build or add to the DreamHack lineup and bring that in, because it's always so much fun to watch those, whether you're live with the players commentating their own speed runs and everything. So we're going to slowly build that. I told them if I'm going to do this, we have to do it the right way. I'm going to reach out to community members, not step on other, you know, huge events toes that have been doing this already for such a long time. So hopefully that all works out. Hopefully I can be proud of what we accomplished working with a guy, John, who's done all the research on that. Doesn't have the social media following I have, but he has more passion than I do on speedrunning. So although my passion can be limitless when I do care about stuff, if you haven't noticed over the years, but looking forward to that. So we're going to work on that for Beyond and hopefully back to our offline events, whether it's later this year or next year. So DreamHack's kept me busy. You know, after the promotion, I've been on, you know, 4 or 5 calls every day during the week. So I'm back to like a kind of not an office job. It's from my house, but it's good to have that straight schedule, look forward to meetings, plan ahead, think about stuff, and then at nighttime stream on my own time, or, you know, kind of plan out CEO. But CEO right now, you know, I know what it's about. I know this year was about bringing back just something to bring people together, no thrills, because the community will always provide that hype. So, but things are really good. I'm very fortunate. I'm very happy. I every day thank everyone who supported me to get to this point, through just coming to my events and helping build CEO, which built my name. And I have no plans on stopping anytime soon. So whoever I settle down with will have to understand this is my life's work, and I'm happy. And, but now with the dog, I've learned how to balance my personal time. That's why I haven't been doing a consistent podcast, because the free time I do have, I've been really spending more of it and enjoying myself, so I don't burn myself out. This past weekend, we had friends, Charlene and Eric, who, met indirectly through our CEO circle, have a beautiful, a boy, Elliot. They came down from New York. We had a barbecue at our friend James' house, about, I'd say, 15 people. They did KBBQ. Thank you, Rose. It was incredible. You'll probably never hear this. And it was, just a great time to just see everybody. That was the first time we all got together in like since CEO 2019. And just seeing everybody happy. All of us were vaccinated, so obviously we feel really comfortable being around each other. And it was just really good time. And Gareth was there, who made the awesome CEO trailer for this year that we filmed. So, you know, it was just really cool. And then I'm like, man, I want to keep hanging out with my friends and stuff. But this weekend was pretty much all getting everything ready for CEO. So, you know, DreamHack, thank you, for any of my coworkers. If you listen to this, you know, I love working with you guys, and I can't wait to see what we continue to grow together. But now, beyond DreamHack, or DreamHack Beyond, please check that out. Actually, a real quick description of it. Imagine a digital like MMO festival where you have you in this game. It's basically a game we're building out over a course of a couple years. And you walk around and you see all these booths. You see these like arcade cabinets to check out a free play game. You'll see me as a character, custom character in the game, talking to you about fighting game tournaments. So I think it's really cool. And then you'll level up by visiting more booths. And there's going to be Easter eggs. So for anyone who's ever played an MMO or, you know, just has always wanted to kind of walk around a festival without actually being there and getting tired after walking all over the place, it's really interesting. I think it's going to be awesome. It's free to enjoy. So I really enjoy. I hope the FGC comes in and enjoys it. And that's why I'll be doing an online tournament for a bunch of games throughout that week to get people into this world and just to check it out and show FGC shows up, whether it's offline or online. So looking forward to that. So that'll be my focus the next couple months. Every Tuesday for June, I'll be doing a DreamHack Fighters tournament. I'm doing Street Fighter V tomorrow. Then I'm going to do Tekken 7 and then Guilty Gear Strive, 1 week on PlayStation, 1 week on PC, because there are two communities for that most likely. And it's not crossplay, sadly. Hopefully they add it. But you know, exciting times. I'm going to be busy for the month of June as if CO is happening, but not. I went to AEW Double or Nothing last week in Jacksonville. I took a couple friends, just sat in the crowd. I didn't hang out with my friends or anything backstage. I just want to feel being a part of a live 5,000 person crowd. And it was crazy. And, you know, I totally understand. And I feel for people that are still afraid to get out there, even vaccinated, and always wear masks. And I still wear masks anywhere that's required. If I'm outdoors, I take it off because I went to Universal and Disney and I couldn't, you know, it's hard to be in the heat. And even Disney is relaxed that where you don't have to wear it when you're outside. But the moment you're indoors, boom, mask on. And they're very good about that. But I understand people that still don't want to get out there. And me personally, I would never tell anybody to do anything they don't want to do. You know, attending CO in December is completely voluntary, but it shows people are ready to get back out there with how the insane numbers went, and just really exciting to think about. But, you know, went to Double or Nothing, incredible shows. You know, I love seeing AEW continue to kill it. I love seeing everyone be successful. And just that show was amazing from top to bottom, being a part. It was something special. It was like a revolutionary pay-per-view. So really excited about that. Kenny's finish using all four of his championship belts to hit Pac over the head was incredible and creative. It's just all those matches. They always come up with something new that you haven't seen before in AEW, and it's crazy. And there's always either a clean finish or a cheap finish. Never really. I don't think I've seen any major run-ins that costed a match. It always happened like after the match was won or lost. But that was amazing to see. Obviously, with no big CEO in arena, there's no Fighter Fest this year. Hope to bring it back. I still talk to Tony Khan, who's been always incredible to me. And so I really hope so, because now seeing CEO's numbers show what a brand it's become is really exciting. And I hope to do more crossovers like that in the future. So the big topic, really, CEO 2021. Originally, obviously, with pandemic still going on, vaccines, you know, back in January weren't really a thing yet to easily get. I canceled instantly CEO in Daytona Beach. They moved my contract, basically wrapped around another year for anyone who wants to understand that. So we'll be there. I haven't mentioned we'll not be there. You know, I would love to return to Orlando full time. I've mentioned this in the past. But right now, I think Daytona is going to be a great move for the next couple years. A lot of things have changed over there. And I look forward to being back there, especially with the space that I have to grow something where it's so financially successful. I can take a huge, you know, $1 million venue risk in Orlando, Florida, and bring it back or something. So we'll see how that goes. So canceled that. I still had CEO Taku on the books for September 25th to 27th or whatever. And I love doing CEO Taku. It's personally my favorite event. The community is incredible, super duper helpful. And thank you guys so much for all your support. You know, in 5 years, it became literally the premier standalone anime event across, you know, 15, 16 games we would do. And I asked feedback. I always ask community feedback. I never make decisions without thinking it through or talking to multiple people, because you always need to see other people's perspectives. That goes a long way in helping you make better decisions. And so, you know, I made tweets about like, if I switch CEO Taku to a December kind of event, name it like Rebirth or Resurrection, all these different names I was considering. Would you be okay? And most like, yeah, we totally understand. Cause at the time when I had to decide on contract stuff, I was like, September is a little close. I know there's an event just happened this past week in InfinityCon. Shout outs to CACT and all the staff that put that on. 512 Smash players for Ultimate. They had like a huge arena area that they just used for it. They spaced everything out. Everyone looked to have a great time. And then hopefully most of those people were able to register for CO last night because Smash capped. So just seeing events already coming back just shows you people are ready. We're going to take the best precautions we can. If you don't want to go, nobody's forcing you to go. So stay safe, obviously. But for those that do, you know, they're either getting vaccinated, they're keeping their masks on, or they understand the risks. Obviously, would like to be at a point where that's not even a thought and you can just go attend an event in peace. So what I did was I told the Wyndham, like, hey, what's available in December? Because if you remember last year in 2020, I moved the June Daytona event over to December in Orlando. Now moving Daytona to like Daytona in December, it would just, I don't think it would work out, with travel and everything. It's a summer destination and all that. So, you know, I talked to the Wyndham, like, yeah, we have December 3rd weekend available. A couple weekends later is Holiday Matsuri, who I've been talking to about helping out with that stuff. So it was just what was best available. It was a week after DreamHack Atlanta. DreamHack Sweden was supposed to happen this year if it happens. And my accountant's messaging me. he's like, hey, you got PayPal locked. We'll unlock it. We're all good. And you know, moving it to December seemed like the right call at the time. And obviously it ended up being so, and just crazy to think about, because at the time nobody was really planning or announcing anything. And I just wanted to get something out there and kind of start planning and see the response. Now, obviously, I'm going to forever not sleep each night going, what if I got a much bigger venue than the Wyndham? The Wyndham realistically has 5,000 person conventions spaced out throughout. Everyone's not always in one place. I've started at 3,000 with the cap. I'm going to hopefully be able to raise it just for players up about maybe 500-600 more just to keep it comfortable, because it's not about selling more tickets at this point. It's about making the best experience possible and then bouncing back even stronger next year. Believe it or not, I'm not greedy, as many people might assume with my ego, but you know, I just want everybody to be comfortable, to be safe. And it's crazy to think, and I'll go over these numbers in a second, that I don't have any pro tours this year. You know, CO usually is successful because of how many pro tours there are, and the community coming out for all the other games as well. And I get a lot of financial support, commentary support, production, but I don't have any of that. So this is going to be also exciting for me, because now I can create the kind of stream I want to and put in the effort that'll go on our channels and not like, you know, for a bigger channel, and put in all that work and they can't use it or they can't approve it, stuff like that. So that's little things that I think about. And, you know, so when the Wyndham said, yeah, in September, I only had half the space available for CO Taco. I did not book out the whole venue. So switching in December was able to get me more space, more rooms for people to book. And it just seemed like the right call. And, you know, now it focuses on that. Obviously, get through the summer, do all my DreamHack stuff. But just to see the feedback is incredible. So last thing I'll talk about is the games that I chose and why I chose them. I know a lot of people are, you know, I'm getting into that Evo territory where if you don't include a game, the community is going to come at you with pitchforks. And then whatever community does, nobody signs up for a side event. I'm like, well, if somebody can't help run it, then, you know, maybe it was the right decision. Obviously, my original list was 14 different fighting games, and I had to cut it back just thinking about the space and the demand that I was seeing for this event. And so it was really hard for me. You know, I've historically had like 17, 18 games and then side events. But I know these games were just going to have huge numbers and people are going to be focused on that and then have like the free play area for people to kind of play everything else that they're interested in. So just, you know, had to decide what games. I've had them decided before Virtual Fighter 5 was even announced to come back out of nowhere. And I kind of had to stick to it because historically Virtual Fighter 5, one of my favorite games to watch. It really is good, but it hasn't brought in a lot of offline attendance in the past, although the last real version came out many, many years ago. So nothing to judge on. Obviously, I think any game I would have hosted would bring in numbers. And that's why I chose some games that I thought would bring in a smaller amount than the big games to kind of balance things out. Because if I had 10 different games with 1,000 entrants, that'd be insane. And again, what if, right? What if I, you know, 4 months ago when I signed this contract, said, hey, I'm going to, you know, get the biggest venue possible. But that would have been stupid. I think a lot of people have been uncomfortable if I was trying to do a 10,000 person event in December while everything's still trying to get better. So I think I made the right decision. Obviously, I did with the way numbers went. And so just crazy. So I'm going to run down the list. I'm going to go through cap numbers, what was hit, how fast they were hit, and then talk about the games I honestly wanted to include. And this isn't about, you know, making people more mad that I didn't include them, but just know that you were in my hearts, you know, and just thinking about it. And I hope next year when we have more space, I can bring you all back in. And I hope a lot of other events start coming back and host the games that I might've missed out on and support those communities. You know, so last night, right, I launched registration at 6 p.m. Eastern. I showed a trailer that I filmed with my best friend, one of my good friends, Gareth. All weekend was me yelling at Tong, Puna, who does my social media, like meme pictures and backgrounds, and Alicia, who did an amazing job. Thank you, Alicia, for updating the website and kind of making it look cleaner than ever. And then I filled in a lot of the content, the new policies, writing up stuff. I wrote the little press release. That's one of the first articles on the website and stuff. So, so all weekend and the week before, I had people coming over and Juicy Alex helping me out, with stuff. But it was basically our team. And then Rick, who helped me put the sponsorship deck together and a couple other things, Rick from Combo Breaker, one of my best friends who has been showing me the ropes of Adobe Illustrator and Photoshop that I've been picking up over the last few months for my YouTube channel and such. So that was exciting to see how he puts these like partnership decks together, which are really intense, man. Just the amount of work that goes into it and the lining and the pictures, the way they're added and the outdoor links and stuff. So it was kind of crazy. So we announced registration. Within 20 minutes, the main hotel, and this is 500 rooms that they have. That's about, you know, if you put two people per room, that's 1,000, 1,200 people that are going to be in these rooms. Sold out in 20 minutes. That's a record for me. I had a backup hotel with about 150 rooms, and they're actually in the process of adding more to that block because they didn't even see this coming. That sold out 5 minutes after I posted that link. So I'm working on more hotels. So if you're listening to this, I'm going to work on more hotels. If you were able to register, obviously, and you don't have a hotel, you should be taken care of. And obviously, people that couldn't register, we're really looking into raising caps, whether it's not add more spectators so we can get more players or lower a game that didn't hit its cap. But just looking at these numbers are insane, right? So I'm going to run these through in the next 8 minutes, usually a 30-minute cap on these podcasts, unless I take a break. But Street Fighter V, obviously, you know, Street Fighter has built CEO as one of the first community streams by Capcom Fighters back in 2013, I think, or 14, one of those years. So that's obvious there. We're at 338 out of 512. Obviously, no Pro Tour, so that probably stops international competition a lot. So we'll see. Tekken 7, easy one, 299 out of 512. Guilty Gear Strive comes out literally this week. Has not come out yet. People have played the beta. It hit its 512 player cap. It's at 513 because somehow two people signed up at the last second. But we're definitely going to try to raise that cap. 512, right? 513. The game comes out this week. It's not. And historically, if you look at games like when Evo announces a game that's not officially out yet, always gets the biggest numbers because everyone think they can win, is my opinion. And they're excited to play a new game and learn. And that's what these events are about. And Strive has a lot going for it, especially with rollback. And it's Guilty Gear has always been a big game. It's never been the biggest at our events, but this is anime's year, man. It's been getting bigger and better. And I only imagine if I did Sea Otaku and December, how big, you know, Sea Otaku Strive event would have been. And then the CO in December, with different games and stuff. But yeah, Guilty Gear Strive working on more. And then who knows, the game comes out this week. All these people that entered out of FOMO or wanting to make sure they didn't miss out might be like, hey, I'm not good at this game. Can I drop? And then we'll figure that part out too. I'm already thinking of all the contingency plans for switching registration stuff, which, you know, most events don't allow you to refund tickets for big conventions across the globe. And I do. I don't mind. The money goes through me. I want people to be happy. If they can't come, why should you lose your money? Now, if it's like the day before the event, I can't really help you there because I already spent your money to buy all the equipment. So Strive is huge. Super Smash Brothers Ultimate hit the cap in 40 minutes. There's another event already happening. I bet you that could have been probably 2,000 entrants. Again, what if? So hopefully we'll raise that cap to like a 640 or something, get another 100 people in, and then everyone's happy. And it's cool because if some pros didn't get in, then we might see some really cool, interesting finals, is one way of thinking about it. But I want everyone who wants to really go to get in. Mortal Kombat 11, obviously back, 180 out of 256. Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, as I look through this Smash GG list, 128 out of 120. Hit the cap. Tong Lee, my best friend, just hosted a offline 64-man invitational-type tournament in Atlanta. Huge success. And the reason I added Marvel 3 back is A, 10 years since we first hosted in CO 2011. B, it's probably going to be the most hyped finals and tournament. And again, I wanted a game that wasn't going to bring in 500 players, but was going to be a healthy tournament and a lot of fun. So we'll see what we can do there. Skullgirls has Annie and some new DLC coming out. They have kind of a community tour that's been really successful this year. So I want to give them a shot because they're usually at Seotaku every year. 88 out of 128. Dragon Ball FighterZ. Insane. It hit the cap. 256 out of 256. The game's a few years old now. We were one of the first major pro tour stops for it with Namco, Bandai Namco and stuff. So to see that kind of passion for that game still is awesome. So we'll see how that goes. Granblue Fantasy Versus, 179 out of 256. This game got the biggest shaft of COVID in 2020. Every event, it was number one in signups, even though it had just come out. Even CO is ahead of Smash and all, at the time before I had to cancel it. So it's not going to probably hit the 512 number, but I think it deserves its offline shot to see how people cut what they learned from it and played it. So looking forward to that. And then the last game was Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle. It hit the cap, 120 out of 128. You know, I asked on Twitter, what games do you want to see? And they were probably the most passionate. They built a hashtag. They're like, we're going to help you do this. Come after me, you know, coming after you, like, please host BB tag. So boom, spot earned in my mind. Right. Melee, obviously, and now the games that weren't added. Melee, barely anyone asked for it. You know, there's a lot of slippy stuff going on. I see everything in the community, guys. Don't think I'm like ignoring anything. And it's super healthy online. You know, CEO, Melee doesn't need CEO, but CEO enjoys having Melee, if that makes sense. But because of these numbers, I made the right call not having it because I didn't want it to end up being like a pseudo Dreamland event where 2,000 entrants are smashed and then none of the fighting game players could get into the games historically at CEO. So I know a lot of Smash and Melee stuff's about to pop up. You guys will be more than taken care of. I do want to have you guys back when we have more space in Daytona next year. So definitely keep an eye out on that. Next couple games, Killer Instinct. You know, I worked on that game, love that game. There's the KI World Cup going on this year. I didn't think a lot of people would show up offline for it. So it was hard to kind of cut it as an exciting game to watch. I've announced stuff for it at CEO, but online is just doing so well with the DMC 3v3s, which I'm working on something special with them in July. So hope to bring them back in the future, but I couldn't fit it, guys. I'm really sorry. Soul Calibur 6 was next on the list. You know, not many people asked for it. Obviously, I see a lot of people upset that it's not at CEO. And then not a single person's filled out or offered to run the side event thing. And that's not a call out. But please, if you want to see your games at events that aren't able to fit you, just reach out kindly. Say like, hey, you know, the community's really passionate, really excited. But I know other events are going to be popping up and I hope you guys get to get featured. I personally was a huge Soul Calibur 2 player. Mitsurugi was always my main. I've actually made top eights in Combo Breaker side events or Frosty Faustings for Soul Calibur. So I've been a competitor myself. I love the game. I love the series. I just didn't have room. That's all it really was. Uniclare, Night of Climax is had, or Climax of Night, one of those two. Kana, yeah, Climax of Night by Shinobi, awesome guy. He sold out his 350 spots instantly, and that's in Atlanta in November. So I know that game has its shine, which is why I wanted to include it as well, because those people would just carry that momentum into it. But it was just a hard fit with Granblue and all the other games. So that one, you know, I'm so sorry. Samurai Showdown. You know, love that game as well. My character, my main from CVS2, Hibiki's in it. I just wasn't able to include it just because of just, you know, space, guys. That's really all it is. I wanted to have all these games. I just don't have the space. King of Fighters 15, it got delayed. I kind of had an inkling, you know, because I work in the industry that it was going to get delayed. So I don't like announcing games that aren't officially out yet or coming out, you know, planned to come out at least 3 months before, if knowing at the time. So looking forward to that game. Obviously, it'll be a shoo-in for CO next year when it's out. So I'm excited for that in SNK's future. Melty Blood has a new game coming out, but haven't heard a release date, so I couldn't risk, you know, adding that. Hopefully, we'll have some kind of exhibition or you know, side setup for that. And Def Jam was huge at CO. in the past with the community. So I just didn't have space, but I'm sure the community always comes through with a side event set up and everything. So we'll make sure to take care of that. So yeah, that was pretty much, you know, what I was looking into. Again, it came down to space, planning ahead, making sure I didn't go, you know, all out crazy greedy and go, all right, hosting 15 games, good luck signing up, and then have every game have like 2,000 entrants, because historically people wait until like the last week to sign up. I have never had more than maybe 300-400 people sign up on the first night. This was 2,000 people signing up for CEO. So just think about that. If I didn't have a cap, where the numbers could have been. And I, wait a minute. Oh my God, 2,459 attendees already. Jesus. And that's including spectators. That's about 1,950 players. So be right back. Let me continue this into the next stop. I'm back. When I record on PC through anchor.fm, you get up to 30 minutes, but so to go back to what I was saying, and then I had to read like three messages while waiting for the other recording to finish, was just, it's insane to see these numbers of almost 2,500. So it's just, it's insane, you know, to think about this, these numbers, how big they got. I'm excited for every other organizer that takes a chance this year, or even early next year, to run events. It's an exciting time. And especially from what I've kind of been hinted to, what's coming out in the future in the next couple of years, FGC is in a really good spot. Very healthy. You know, we had a really big break with everything, and now we're all bouncing back, which is awesome news for all of us. Drink some water. Hey, Tifa. So I'm really looking forward to hosting CEO. I hope to include maybe another 500 total players. Obviously, going to kind of see how the dust settles when people are like maybe not able to travel or come down and whatnot. So, again, insane to see, you know, not a lot of countries have signed up internationally because they're unsure about travel. But, you know, I hope everyone in Florida, if you're my friends since day one, you're able to get in, guys, because I can't really make exceptions. It's one of those things where it's a sellout. Just got to focus on what's happening and not think about what could have happened. And, you know, and that's something that's going to eat at me of the, not so much for making, you know, selling more tickets. It's about like, what could the numbers have been out of the excitement the FGC has right now? So I look forward to next year. Thank you so much. If you listen to this podcast again, I'm going to try so much to do more of these, now, especially, you know, I've always been transparent. My God, after I had to ban someone online for saying some really stupid stuff on Twitter, if you guys remember that episode, who said he would sue me, for banning him from a private event. I've gained like 2,000 followers since that day, and especially last night. So, it's been totally insane. So looking forward to all that this year. You know, next I'm going to focus on the DreamHack Online stuff. I'm going to work on vendor booths for CEO, Artist Alley. We should have about 15 to 20 tables, and see how that kind of goes, but just looking forward to it. I hope it's not so packed that, you know, it's unbearable, but you know, we've been there before with about 4,000 people in 2017. And that was manageable with the way we laid everything out, me and Rick. So across all the ballrooms. So I'm looking forward to that. And again, thank you guys so much. It means the world that, you know, I'm back, baby. And that I can give more people opportunities now that the best thing about this as an organizer, I could plan the schedule tomorrow based on these numbers. With all our other events, we can't really plan them. And that's why you don't see FGC events announce their schedule to like maybe 3 weeks to a month before the event, because we don't know the final numbers. But now that everything's capped, it's insane, right? So a lot more announcements will be able to be put earlier. So after the summer, hopefully things are continuing to get better, and I can just go full steam ahead to planning, ordering stuff. I'll be giving everyone, even, you know, worst case, masks will be required for everyone while in the venue, then take them off when you leave out, you know, so that could also help with, you know, spacing and people like, okay, I want to take my mask, I'm going to go step outside after they're done their pool or something. So little things like that, but working on a welcome package with Gaming Generations with like a cool CEO mask, hand sanitizer, custom, some wipes as well. Obviously we'll have wipes at all the stations too, and just keep everything as clean as possible and as safe as we possibly can. And just looking forward to it. And I see a lot of these names looking through the registration, names I've never heard of. And I remember everything. So it's a lot of new people are excited. I'm excited. Again, guys, thank you so much for everything. And look forward to seeing you all again at live events as soon as we can. Take care.